God is good all the time. In His presence. You know why people are miserable? Because they don't carry the presence of God. You know why they struggle? Because they lack in the presence of God. You know why they fear? Because they lack a presence of God. See, there is levels of God's presence. There's a presence that we live and dwell and have our being in. That's all creation. Then there's a presence that's within us. And then there's a presence that comes upon us. And that presence that comes upon us is in worship and corporate. In worship. Not saying you can't worship by yourself, but it comes with worship. And as that presence increases through worship, another presence will come. It's called crossover. And that presence will bring you across. It will bring you out of this reality into the other reality. Does everybody understand? So in this right now, because people are being taken out, they're being taken out of God's presence. They're being taken out with the thoughts. They're not overcoming. They're being deceived. And it's because of the lack of God's presence. Everything. Can, you know, just think about it. If everybody carried that manifestation of God's presence, that third level of presence, we wouldn't have a bit of trouble in this world. There would be no wars. There would be no lying. There would be no cheating. There would be no devil. Because he'd be thrown out. Why? Because he wouldn't be able to get fed. There wouldn't be any demons because they couldn't get fed no more. If everybody carried that third level of God's presence, so in His presence is everything. So why are people thirst and hunger? Well, you're supposed to thirst and hunger for His presence. That's what we thirst and hunger for. Food can't save you. Hello? Money can't save you. People can't save you. Pastors can't save you. Nobody can save you but God's presence. In His presence. That's what it's all about. When His presence came upon me, changed me. I became a new creation. And as a new creation in Christ, now you got to maintain that level of presence to maintain that new creation. And that's where people falter. They justify, they reason, and they put things in front of God's presence. They put their jobs, they put money, they put their family, they put everything before God's presence. And that's called compromise. And the enemy knows about compromise because that's how he comes to compromise your identity. Because if he can steal your identity, he steals the presence of God from you. Is everybody okay? And we are in a time right now, my gosh, there is so much distraction, there is so much battle, there's so much stuff going on, there's so much media, there's so much artificial intelligence, there's so much knowledge from everywhere. It's causing people to distract from God's presence. And the enemy is increasing the influence to get people in debt. It's amazing how many people are still in debt. God wants us out of debt. We're to be debt free. Forgive us our debt. Amen. Debt free. Owing nobody nothing. That's a freedom, isn't it? Hallelujah. But when people are in debt, they're in bondage. And think about this debt thing. I didn't want to go there today, but let's think about this debt thing. So think about this. People go to a bank, they go to buy a car, they do whatever. The bank lends them the money. Well, where'd they get the money from? They printed it. So it's really got no backing. Their print machine can print as much money as they need. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by silver. They just print, lend you the money. Now check this out. They not only lend you counterfeit money, but then they charge you interest. That's plumb corruption. We've been lied to our whole life about this debt thing. But that's about to stop here shortly. Because God said enough is enough. He's hearing the prayers of his people and the cries of his people to get set free. Debt is interfering. Because see, the enemy knows that debt can interfere with God's presence. Because a person is more concerned about getting out of debt. So they work more hours. They do more things. They do this. They do that. And they're trying to get out of debt. And then they lack God's presence. And there's a special presence when God says, come aside. I can't now, Lord. I got to do this. Why? Because I got bills to pay. You just missed that blessing. You missed that blessing. Why? Because he's trying to bring something to us all the time. God doesn't come to steal. He comes to bring. He brings us life and life abundantly. And people are not living it because of the lack of God's presence in their life. Amen? Go to Revelation 12, verse 7. We've heard this before. We got a reminder today. Why? Because many people are being distracted. Distracted. Revelation 12, 7. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the Lord kicked them out of his presence. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he's still doing it. He was cast to the earth. Hello, it might be your neighbor. And his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now this is vitally important. The power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. So he knows his time is short. Why? Because it's called the end time. Amen? The Christ is the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty. He is the Christ. God's presence, power, and truth from another reality, the true reality, came into this realm. Why? So he could break us free so that we might know who we are. The Christ, he is the eternal presence, power, and truth from the true reality into this false reality. And this false reality veils the true reality. It veils it. So people don't really even know that there's another side. They don't even realize that there's another reality. They're still so caught up in this reality. Go to John chapter 1. Verse 10. So that's why Jesus is called the Christ. Christ is not his last name. Amen? He's called the Christ. Why? Because he's the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty from the true reality brought into this reality. This reality fell when Adam fell. And Lucifer took it over. And what's he run at? Deception and what? Fear. So this whole reality is run by deception and fear. Amen? All right, John chapter 1, verse 10. And he who is the Christ, amen, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become his offspring or children of God, to those who followed in his name, who believed him, who followed him. So you can say you believe him, but if you unless you're following him, you ain't right. Amen? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? God, from what? The true reality. Does everybody get this? This is so powerful. I love it. From the true reality, because this reality is false and it's held by deception and fear. But it's about to crumble. Hallelujah. The Christ came into this reality controlled by deception and fear. That this reality is controlled by deception and fear. It's controlled by witchcraft and sorcery. God came to bring his presence, power, and truth that his people could overcome the lies and the desires of this reality. Because, see, desires is what the enemy influences people to. Why? Because your desires are going to either feed or starve demons. Hello? They're going to either feed or starve demons. See, you're either going to feed the presence of God or it's going to feed the presence of evil. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. We were born into a new reality of truth that will make you free. If you what? Cooperate with the plan of grace. See, grace means God's plan. Grace is not God's favor. You earn God's favor. That is not true doctrine. Does everybody get it? Oh, you've been saved by grace. Well, what's grace? God's plan. It's a plan of escape. Amen? So the Christ, the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty, from the true reality, came into this realm, and he brought a plan of escape. That's what he did. Now, if you follow that plan, you will escape. If you don't follow that plan, you'll be taken captive. Romans 8. Now, without the presence of God, you can't follow that plan. It's impossible. You need God's presence. And you need that third level of presence to follow God's plan. Hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 1. Let's speak it. Therefore, now no condemnation to those who are on Christ Jesus. Too many people stop right there and think, oh, that's cool, I'm saved. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. Yeah. See, there's two type of Christians. Those in the flesh and those in the spirit. Does everybody get it? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in it that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, that means there's a righteous requirement of cooperation, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he's saying, look, there are Christians who are walking according to the flesh. And there are Christians who are walking according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're walking according to Christ's way. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So they're heavenly bound. They're thinking more spiritually. The things of God. But why? They want to please God. You'll tell them by their desires. What's their desire? For to be carnally minded is what? Death. Whoa. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So there's two types of Christians, flesh and spirit. Does everybody get it? There's a requirement of cooperation to escape. What are they escaping? The eternal separation of God's presence. It is to follow the plan of grace by maintaining His presence. Again, you can't follow the plan without His presence. And that's what He's requiring. John 10. I read a testimony yesterday from an individual who had a powerful dream. And in the dream, God showed her things. I'm not going to get into the full thing. But the end of it was, the Lord said, look. And He showed him the two type of Christians. Those that were worshipers and those that were not. Those that were worshipers worshipped. Those that were not just were receivers. Does everybody understand? Those that worship and those that do not. And He showed this person the two type of Christians that He looks at. Those that worship and those that do not. See, the more of God's presence is on you, you ain't going to be offended. If you're fleshly and carnal Christian, you easily be offended. Why? Because you can't overcome those things. The Bible says, submit to God to resist the devil. What are you submitting to? His presence. And my people don't realize that. Well, I'm submitting to God by reading my Bible. No! You've got to submit to His presence. The letter kills, the spirit brings life. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? So we must get to that level that we maintain His presence. In John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and life that they may have it much more what? Abundantly. And how are you going to get it? The life abundantly. The devil steals your identity. He prevents individuals from reaching their identity and the third level of God's presence. He keeps them bound into a false identity and a false reality. He's trying to separate us from God and everything. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we in the latter times? Some will depart from the presence of God. Depart from the faith. You depart from the faith, you depart from the presence of God. Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits. These are demons and doctrines of demons, which you hear on the media every day. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Many will depart from His salvation presence. Salvation presence, influenced by demonic presence. They will exchange it out. The Bible talks about many will fall because they have itching ears. They want to hear everyone that's doing their own thing like they are. You know, I remember when before I got saved, I thought being free was doing whatever you wanted. Well, then I realized that it got me in trouble. Ended up in prison because I did what I wanted. Became a drug addict because I did what I wanted. Thank God somebody was praying for my blessed assurance. Rescued me from going to hell because that's where I was headed because I was doing what I wanted. That wasn't freedom. It was a false reality I was living. Amen? It was a false reality. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 18. And Jesus said, he who believes in him, in other words, who follows him, amen, he who follows him, praise God, is not condemned. But he who does not believe in him or does not follow him is condemned already. Because he has not believed or followed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. In other words, the light. Well, the light comes from the true reality. Christ, the light. And men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were what? Evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. So God gets the glory. Those that follow and those that do not. Two types of Christians. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel, which is the message of truth or message of light, is veiled or blinded, it is veiled or blinded to those who are what? Perishing. They're perishing. Whose minds or thoughts the God of this age has blinded. And who's the God of this age? Satan, the prince of power of air. Who do not believe or do not follow, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Wow. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, many people are being veiled again. Those veils are coming back on. Why? Because of the lack of God's presence. They're not maintaining that third level. They're easily offended. They're easily manipulated. They easily compromise, not maintaining that third level of God's presence. They've got many excuses because something's always in the way. Go back to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Plus, when one turns to the Lord, the what? The veil, the scale is taken away. So you must turn to him. That means repent and turn to him. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Now is the Spirit God's presence? Yeah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. So without God's presence, there is no freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, these individuals in this, what they're cooperating with, if it's demonic, is going to bring the veils back. They're going to lose God's presence. Again, there's the presence that we live and breathe and ever be in. There's a presence within, and there's a presence that comes on. And that presence that comes on must be maintained. That's the presence. That's the overcoming presence. And then as that presence continues, That's the crossover presence also. John chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus went at a well, and he asked the woman for a drink, and he got into conversation with the woman, and he began to read her life to her, and her life was not good. She'd been sleeping with multiple men. In verse 21, and Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers," in other words, Jews and Gentiles, "will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." In other words, have you gotten God's attention? How do you get God's attention? Worship. Worship. When you get God's attention, his presence comes. And that third level of God's presence is maintained. Again, it's also associated with the chambers of God, the chambers of the tabernacle. You have the outer court, holy place, and most holy place. The outer court, salvation. Holy place, it's priesthood. The most holy place is warrior. Why? Warriors represent an overcomer. Amen? Overcomer. So the Father seeks to release his presence, that third level of presence, that overcoming presence, on those who worship him in truth and spirit. Does everybody get this? You know, let me just share this then. There are many friendly, I guess they call them friendly churches. I don't know. You can go to a lot of friendly churches. That's great that they're friendly. But you make sure that the worship is at the level needed to be there. Because friendly ain't going to make it, ain't going to help you. It's God's presence that helps you. Does everybody get it? I mean, you can love everyone. You can do whatever. There's nothing wrong with loving everyone. But there's a level of God's presence that you got to maintain to overcome. Or you end up bringing shame to the name of the Lord. I can't tell you how many people I run to tell me that in their churches that they're drinking, they're certain, and they're this and they're that. They got coffee and donuts when you get in there. That's wonderful. What about God's presence? It's God's presence. Amen? Coffee and donuts should be after worship, not before. Psalm 16, verse 11. And the psalmist says, "You will show me the path of life. And in your presence is" what? "Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures for evermore." In other words, he's your fulfillment. So God's presence must be your fulfillment. If it's not your fulfillment, something else is. And anything else that's your fulfillment before God's presence is called an idol. You know, the pathway of life, the plan of grace. His presence is fullness of joy, pleasures. Again, without the presence, there's a no-go. Without worship, there's no presence. Romans 14, verse 16. Let's speak it. Romans 14, 16. "Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit," or in God's presence. Amen. In what? God's presence. Hallelujah. "For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." Righteousness, peace, and joy is where? In his presence. When you begin to compromise your righteousness and begin to approve of some of those things that are not righteous, you know that his presence is not there, that third level of presence. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Now Samuel the prophet took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel moved on and arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Why? God anointed David king. Amen. In verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So don't tell me the Spirit of the Lord can't depart from you. God's presence can depart from us. And why did the Spirit of the Lord depart from Saul? Because of his rebellious and rejection of God's counsel. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Oh, so God's presence was lifted from him, and a demon came. A distressing spirit that was tormenting him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. In other words, a worshiper. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit of God is upon you, and you shall be well. Well, even his servants knew this. Does everybody get this? I love this. This is just phenomenal to me, that even his servants knew. So Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Well, you know who's going to choose is the one that has got the same anointing that Saul had, but it was taken from him. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful in playing and mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech and handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Don't you want everyone to know that the Lord is with you? Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread and skin and wine and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, that demon, that distressing spirit, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become what? Refreshed and healed. And the distressing spirit would depart from him. The problem is Saul couldn't maintain that level of God's presence. Why? Because David was not with him all the time, and Saul was reaping what he sowed. How did that happen to him? Because God lifted God's presence from him, and that demon came and tormented all the way. So let me tell you what the end result was. Saul ended up committing suicide. He ended up falling on his own sword. Why? Because he lost his son. He lost everything. The prophet of God anointed David, divine presence, power, and truth from the true reality. But the presence of God departed from Saul because of his rejection of counsel and rebellion to the plan of God. David carried the presence of God and brought that presence of God to Saul when worshiping the Lord. Saul became refreshed, healed, and a demon left. But Saul continued to rebel and eventually committed suicide, falling on his own sword. Matthew 25. So don't let anybody tell you you can't, the presence of God will not lift from you. That's why I hate that doctrine, once saved, always saved. That is so demonic. That it's not God's doctrine at all. Now, God has the last say, thank God. He knows an individual, amen? Even people who have committed suicide might have gone home. But I sure ain't going to promote it. Hello? I'm sure not going to promote sin. Oh, it's okay. God will forgive you when you die. Oh, really? I don't know, but I'm not going to promote it. But I know God answers the prayers of his saints. And I know many people have been rescued from hell because of the prayers of the saints. I know I was. Hallelujah. In Matthew 25, verse 1. Let's speak it. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. In other words, they didn't have that what? Third level of God's presence. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Why? Because they were worshipers. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." Then all those virgins arose, all those Christians arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." The wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy your own for yourselves." See, nobody can buy your oil. You must worship him in truth and spirit to get it. Hallelujah. While they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and those doors were shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said to them, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you." See, you must become a lover of his presence. His presence must be everything to you. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." There are either foolish or wise Christians out there. Acts 13 and verse 11. "And do this knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts and desires." And then I'm going to close Ecclesiastes 12, and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Can you fear God without God's presence? No. There'll be no reverence, honor, or respect. And keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In other words, nobody escapes. Remember, God is seeking those who worship him in truth and in spirit. True worshipers. And in this time that we're in right now, where darkness is taking over the world and light is shining, God is seeking those he can enlighten more and more. We must maintain that third level of his presence. And the more you maintain it, that crossover level will come. And you never know when it will come. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you protect the seed that's been imparted and bring it to us as a thirst and hunger that we should desire. Lord, I pray blessing over each and every one here today. And I'm asking, Lord, that thirst and hunger for your presence will increase in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.